Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masechet Menachot Daf Samachet Amud Bet. About to look at the sixth Mishnah in this, the sixth Perek. HaOmer Hayamatir Bamedina Ushtei Halechem Bamikdash. So the bringing of the Omer permitted the use of new grains for people outside of the Mikdash, Bamedina, and the Shtei Halechem permitted the use of new grains for offerings in the Mikdash. In Mevi'in Menachot Bikurim Menachat Behima. Kodem la'omer, the word bikurim here is very difficult, but we're not allowed to bring menachot. Bikurim here clearly means from grain, and it means for offerings, not for the bikurim themselves. And minchat behema is minchat nesachim, before the omer, vimevi pasul. If you brought anything from the new grains for any of those before the omer, it's pasul. Kodem eshtei alechem le'avi vimevi kasher. So in clarifying the opening line of the Mishnah, that eshtei alechem is matir b'mikdash, that is lechatchila, but b'di'avad, if you brought it after the Omer, it's accepted. Yotev Rabbi Tarfon v'kakashalei. So Tarfon, examining this Mishnah, was bothered. Ma ben kodem la'omer lekodem shtei alechem. Why is it that before the Omer it's pasul, but before shtei alechem you shouldn't bring it, but it is valid if brought? Amar lo hafanav Yehuda bar Nechemya. A particular student said, lo, that there is a distinction. Ima marta kodem la'omer shekein lo tar michlalo etzel hedyot. After all, no one can eat it before the Omer. Tomar kodem shtei alechem shetar michlalo etzel hedyot, but after the Omer, it has been permitted to the hedyot, so therefore it's lighter, and therefore be accepted. Shatak Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon was silenced. Now, was he silenced because it was such an obvious argument, and he was embarrassed that he didn't have it? Or was he silenced because he didn't agree with it? So in either case, tzavu panav shel Yehuda ben Nechemya. So this fellow, who temporarily gets the title Rebbe, at least in our version, suddenly feels good. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Yehuda, tzavu panecha sheshavt et zaken. You feel so good, you're so haughty because you answered the old man, the elder. Tmianim tarich yamim. I'd be surprised if you live a long life. So the follow-up to that story is from Yehuda Rabbi Loi, oto aperek prosa pesach haya. It was 2 weeks before Pesach when this question was asked. Shaliti latzeret shalti acharav. So Rabbi Yehuda came up. Evidently up here means to Usha, or to where the Chachamim were, for Shavuot. I asked about this Yehuda Rabbi Nechemya, Echanhu, Vamruli Niftar Vahalachlo, he's already dead. Which means he was evidently not an old man, but within, as we see, 9 weeks at the very most, from when he behaved in this brazen manner, Rabbi Akiva's prognostication came true. Rachmar Yitzchak, L'divrei Yehuda ben Nechemya. Now notice they don't refer to him as Rabbi, but they do take his words into account based on what he taught. Nesachim bikurim shekuvam kodem laomer ksherin. That if you bring wine that's new as a libation before the omer, it's acceptable. It's a pshita. That's obvious that it's good because wine doesn't have a date at which it's asur. It's only for grains. So ma'udatei mahatim uduhuta michalo etzel hedyot. Said, oh, we might think that when did we allow things before Shtei Halechem? That was for grains that are mutar, because the Omer was matar them. Here, it didn't become mutar with the Omer, because after all, it was never asur. In other words, it had no point at which it was asur that it became mutar to everyone else. They will say, b'diavad, it's kosher l'mizbeach. So, kosher ken hachar lo itzarklal. The answer is, kal v'chomer, it's acceptable because it never was asur. Okay, Bar Yoram Bar Chama, he asked the following question. Shtei alechem ma'u she'atiru shelo kesidran. Can the shtei alechem be matir if done out of order? So, hechidami, what are we talking about? Higon nizarinu ben ha'omer l'shtei alechem. Let's say you planted grain in May, between the Omer and Shtei alechem, in Chodesh Iyar. V'chali falayu shtei alechem ve'omer. And then, after you planted it, they took root. Then Shavuot came, so shtei alechem came. And then the next Omer came, meaning you harvested them probably in the summer and kept them around, and so now they've been in the world after taking root over Shtei Alechem and the Omer, which is the opposite order. My. Kesidran Sharyan, Shalom Kesidran Lo Sharyan. Are they only Matir in order, which means you'd have to wait for the next Shtei Alechem? Oh, Dilma Shalom Kesidran Nami Sharyan. As long as both Korbanot are brought in whatever order after this thing took root, it's Mutar, which means it'll be Mutar after the Omer. So which is it? Amarava Toshma, V'im Takriv Minchat Bikurim. We have a Braita that goes through this Parsha in Perek Bet of Vayikra Pasuk Yidalad that talks about the Minchat Bikurim. And important to remember that at no point in the Torah, not here and not in Vayikra Chav Gimel, does the Torah spell out that that offering that we refer to as Minchat HaOmer is barley. Minchat Bikurim. Minchat HaOmer HaKatuv Medaber. It's Minchat HaOmer. Mechan Ba Min HaSeorin. It's barley. Atomer Min HaSeorin O'Edel Min HaChitin. Maybe it's wheat. So Eliezer says no, because Nemar Aviv Mitzrayim, in the, at the very end of Parshat Va'era, in the plague of Barad, it says that the Seora was hit because it was Aviv, meaning it was already up in its stalks. But Nemar Aviv LaDorot, and here it says that this Korban, Minchat Bikurim, Aviv Kalui Ba'esh Geras Carmel, so it's called Aviv. Ma'aviv Mur Mitzrayim Seorin, Af Aviv Amur LaDorot Seorin, just like the one in Mitzrayim is barley, so this one is barley. Alright, Rabbi Kiva Omeri has a different proof. Matzinu yachid shmevi chovato min achitin v'chovato min ha-se'orin. We find that an individual could have an obligation to bring a korban mincha of wheat, that's minchat chote, and he has an obligation, or she could have an obligation min ha-se'orin, that would be minchat sota. V'tzibur shmevin chovatan min ha-achitin v'in chovatan min ha-se'orin. I believe that what's behind Rabbi Kiva's thinking here is that it's not possible for the yachid to have an obligation that does not have a parallel for the tzibur. And therefore, he says, similarly, the tzibur, we know, brings an obligatory wheat offering, that's shtei alechem, besides, of course, alechem apanim. So also, the tzibur must have a barley offering, which is obligatory. If you claim that omer is chitin also, then you've got nothing that the community brings, which is se'orin. So therefore, it must be by process of elimination that it's se'orin. Davar Acher has another argument, and this is the part that Rab is focused on in bringing this braita. Davar Acher, im ata omer omer ba min ha-chitin, ein shtei alechem bikurim. After all, the Torah refers to Shavuot as Yom HaBikurim because you're bringing a new offering. And if indeed the omer was brought from chitim, then shtei alechem wouldn't be the new chitim. They wouldn't be the bikurim. That's the end of the braita. Vimita, and Rabba then argues, Dishtei Alechem Shaloka Sidran Sharyan, if it works out of order, the question that was asked, that Rambacham asked, then Mishkachat La Demakriv Omer Mehanach to Ashush Kodal Mishtei Alechem, Uvatara Omer Dishtakad, you could bring the Omer wheat, according to this Havmina, from stuff that was planted, in last ER, you harvested in the summer, and then you brought it for the Omer. And then you could bring shtei alechem from things that you planted in the winter. And each one would be its own bikurim of the season. Dehashta, uvata shtei alechem v'ishtakad. Right? That was planted after last year's shtei alechem. So therefore it proves that it must only work kisidran, otherwise Rabbi Kiva's second argument falls apart. The answer to that is, mi savrat bikurim lepera kamrinan. You think that when the Torah refers to shtei alechem as bikurim, it means it's the first of its fruit. The mizbeach comes in. It just means it's the first one to go on the mizbeach. Have a ha'achil ha'mizbeach in period the hashata. And now the mizbeach is already devouring things from this year. Right? Which means that this doesn't prove that it has to work kesidran. It could still work shalo kesidran. It would just mean it's the first thing that goes on the mizbeach of that year. Okay, Bar Rami Merchama. So he asked a different question. Shtehal, which means, by the way, we have no resolution to this, or many of the questions we're going to ask here about these korbanot. In this case, we don't know whether shtei alechem is matir shelo kesidran. Shtei alechem, hanatsa sharya or hanata sharya. What is matir? Meaning, when something's in the ground, and then shtei alechem happens, how far along in its growth does it have to be for shtei alechem to have the effect of saying, now it's mutzah l'mikdash, or do you have to wait for a whole other year? For instance, if you put seeds in the ground erev Shavuot, everyone will agree that Shtei Alechem has no effect on it. It hasn't done anything yet. The question is, how far along in its growth does it have to be recognized so that Shtei Alechem being brought will then be matirit? So he asked whether the bud of the flower or actually blossoming of the flower is matir. So, Mahanatsa Macharata, what is he asking? Ilei Mahanatsa Deper or Chanata Deper. If he's talking about the wheat flower, Hashta Shrasha Sharya, the minute it takes root, which is way earlier, it's already matir. Our essential problem is that when it takes root is the point of contact, when it's considered to be in growth, and that's when it's matir, but we don't know when it takes root because that's underground. So what external sign are we talking about? It must be the budding of the leaf, of the stalk that comes around the wheat. That's what we're looking at. And the question is, which one of them parallels the taking root underneath? And the answer is teku. We don't know at what stage it is. Boy Rav Rav Hanan, so the third question. Chitin shezra'an bakarka. Let's say you took wheat and you replanted them. You took wheat seeds and replanted them in the ground. Omer matiran o ein omer matiran. Now they're sitting as seeds in the ground. They haven't germinated. But they were already grown and then you put them back in the ground. Hey chidami. Ida ashrush tanina. If they took root, we've already learned that if they take root. Ida lo ashrush tanina. We learned that also did not. Himishrishu kodam la omer, omer matiran love, al surin achiyav omer abba. Like I said before, if they take root before the omer, then once the omer comes, it's mat to them. You harvest them in the spring or in the summer, you're good to go. But if not, then you have to wait for the next year. So which is it? So the answer is lo tzricha. The chazdinu vizarinu kodam la omer. You harvested them and then you replanted them before the omer. Ve'ata omer v'chalifaleo. And then they were in the ground when the omer happened. His question is this. Can you pick some and eat them? Meaning, is it as if when you harvested originally, that was before the Omer, and then when you threw them in the ground, they're like sitting in a pot. And now the Omer came, and the Omer was mat to them, wherever they are. Maybe they're batel to the land, and now they have to start again. And since they had not taken root again when the Omer came, they are not matmutar. So then we ask a related question, which is, yesh lahen ona, ein lahen ona? Which is whether or not ona applies to these seeds, because remember, ein ona lakarkaot. So hey chidami, what's the case? If he says, I'm selling you what I put in there, and I put in there six seeds, and the Edim come and say, you only threw in five, and remember the shear of ona is 1/6, anything that you measure out, either with a volume measure or weight measure or counting measure, even if it's 1/100th off, you have to return it. So why are we asking about whether ona applies here if you're using exact numbers? Basically, a case where you said, I'm selling you what I threw in there, and I threw in the right amount. They said, no, he didn't throw in as much as was supposed to, meaning I put in the right amount of seeds for that area of land, and the Edim come and say, no, it was sparser than that. So yesh lanu ona, d'cheman d'shad d'bechad d'mayad. Do we say that again? It's like he put it into a pot, and it's metaltalin. Yesh lanu ona. D'ma batel l'gabeara. Or maybe they are batel to the land, and now are related, which means that there is no ona, because there's no ona on land. And the third question, it's all a string of questions, nishpa'in alayin o'ein nishpa'in alayin. Can you force a shvu on them? Because they're like metaltalin, and then nishpa'in alein, you take a shvu on metaltalin. Or maybe they're in the ground, therefore they're part of the ground. You don't take a shvu on karka. And the answer is teku in all three cases. Meaning, you harvest it, you put the seeds back in the ground. While they're in the ground as is, before they germinate, do we say that they are separate pieces? They're metaltalin, ona applies, shvu applies, and the omer is mat to them. But we say that they're batzel to the ground, and they start over. There's no shvua, there's no ona involved, and you have to wait for the next omer. The answer to all of that is teku. Stand, we don't know. Baram Barham. So Baram Barham again asks a question. Chitin shebeglalei bakar u'sa'urin shebeglalei behema. If you have wheat or barley that comes out in the fecal matter of animals, which means they ate it, they digested it, and it came out. Mahu. What's the status? So Lamai, what's he asking about? If you are asking whether or not this food is mekabel tuma like tumat ochlin, that's very simple. Tanina, chitin shebirim bakar v'sa'urin shebiglalei behema, food that comes out like that, chishev alei machila, if you decide that you're going to use it as food, ein metame tumat ochlin, then it's not metame. Your thought alone doesn't make it. Liktam achila, if you pick it out and clean it, we assume, you pick it out for achila, meaning you actually take an action to determine that it's not going to be waste, then it is. So we have a simple solution to that. Ella leminachot. We're asking whether it can be used to menachot. Like Malachi says, you couldn't offer something like this to a governor. How could you offer it to God? So lotzricha didaktino v'zarinu. Here's the question. You took it, plucked it out, and you replanted them. Now you want to bring menachot from what was regrown from there. My. And here's the question. Originally it was rejected when it came right out of the fecal matter, mishum de miisutahi, because it's disgusting. But now that you planted it and it grows, it's not disgusting anymore, it was regrown. Odilma mishum chishutahu, or it's possible that the reason it was originally invalidated was because it was inherently weak, because it had gone through the digestive system of the animal, and therefore that's still going to apply. Mashtanami chusha, and again, teiku, we don't have a solution. Baram Machami asks another question. Pil shabalak fifa mitzrit, if an animal swallowed a basket, a wicker basket, vekiyat derech peitari, and then if it eliminated it, mahu. Now, Lamai, again, what's he asking about? If you're asking if this basket was originally Tame, is it now lost its Tuma? Tanina, it's very simple. Very clear mission in the Kelim, and it's quoted and invoked quite often, that Kelim can become Tame once you have a thought, I'm done with this, this is now a completed project, but they cannot lose their Tuma unless you do something to them, like scrape off the paint to repaint it or something like that. And here you didn't do anything to them, so they maintain their tuma. So lo tzricha debala hutzin. Here's what we're talking about. The elephant swallowed the reeds. V'avdinu kfifa mitzrit. And then you made them into a basket. Mihave equal. Do we say that once the animal swallowed it, it is now part of his digestive elimination? Havi le kichlei glalim uchlei adama. Then it becomes like kelim made out of feces. V'ein mekablin tuma. Da'amar mar. Klei avanim klei glalim uchlei adama. In mekablin tuma. Lo midivrei tov avanim udo yisifrim. Any kli made out of stone or made out of earth, earthenware, or made out of fecal matter, are not mekabel tuma at all, even midevir zofrim, which means if the animal swallowed this material, and then once the material came out, you cleaned it off and made a kli out of it, it would never be mekabel tuma at all. Odim aloha veikul, maybe when he swallowed the reed and it came out that way, it's considered not to have been changed, and it is still a reed, and therefore it's mekabel tuma at least midrabanan. So, yeah, that's his question. So, tifshut le meha, maybe we could solve it from the following. Da'amar ula mishum rabishum ben yehot tzadak, maseh ubal'u ze'evim shnei tinokot pe'evar yarden. There was a story where wolves ate up some babies on the other side of the Jordan. Uva maseh lefnei chachamim, v'tiharu tabasar, and then the body flesh came out of the animals. Question is there tum'at mate of these babies? And they said, no, the basar is not metame at all, which means that the basar no longer maintains identity. Which means that when the animal swallowed the reeds now become part of the animal, and they're fecal matter, they're not reeds. So the answer we give to that is that's not a good proof, because shani basar derachich, basar is very, very soft, so it becomes part of what the animal eats. After all, and people, the carnivores, eat meat, it becomes part of their body. V'liv shot misefa, but the end of that ruling was the opposite. V'timu tatzamot, they said the bones of the babies that came out were tame. The answer is shani atzamot akushitve, they're very, very hard. So the bones are too hard, it's almost like Goldilocks, the bones are too hard, the meat is too soft, and the wicker is something in the middle, so we cannot solve whether or not it would have its own identity, maintain its own identity, or become part of the digestive identity. But boy, Rabbi Zeira. So now Rabbi Zeira asks a question, it's a fantastic question in the sense of very unusual. Chitin shiardu be'avim, if you have wheat that came down from the clouds, mahu. And the Rishonim were divided into what this means. Is it some sort of miraculous thing? Or did they believe that the chitim could actually be sort of condensed? In any case, Lamai, again, they asked the same question. So all of these early Amoraim asked questions and saying, what's the status? But we don't know what the context was. Ilim menachot, if you're asking whether this wheat can be used for menachot, amai lo, why not? Wheat is wheat. And wheat, by the way, menachot does not have to come from Eretz Yisrael. Elo l'shtei alechem, my question is, can it be used for shtei alechem? Why? Because the Torah says shtei alechem has to come mim moshvotechem. Moshvotechem means from Eretz Yisrael. Am rachmana, lafuke de chutzlarts lo. Well, maybe moshvotechem only says it can't come from chutzlarts. Aval da'avim shapir dam, if it's this miracle wheat that comes from the sky, maybe it's okay. Ol dilma moshvotechem dafka, maybe it means it has to specifically come from the settlements of Eretz Yisrael. Afilu da'avim namilo, even if it comes from the clouds, it's not good. So, again, they don't settle the question, but they ask, what we're all asking is, when did you ever have such a thing that you're asking? And the answer is, and they have a story, Adi Taya, there was a particular Arab named Adi, Nechita le rum kizba chiti betlata parsi, he had a whole pile of wheat come down, it was three parsot, a huge thing that came from the sky. Some story that they knew about. In any case, they never settled the question. Boy, Rabbi Shimon Pazi. So, of course, what all of these have in common is what's the status of food when it's gone through some foreign environment, whether it's replanting seeds, whether it's the digestive tract, and now the clouds. Does it maintain its identity, or is it somehow something new? Baruch Hashem Ampazi, Shibolot Shevi'a Shlish. So let's say you have a stalk that's already grown to a third of its growth, which means it's now Onat HaMasrot. Kodem LaOmer. So sometime in Adar. Ve'akra v'shatla l'achar ha'omer. And what happened is you uprooted it, and you replanted it after the Omer. V'hosifa. And then it grew more. Mahu. Batar ikar azlinan. Do we look at the essential piece that was there? V'shar ye Omer. And the Omer was already materit. And whatever was added on, we don't care about. Odilma batar tosefet azlinan. Maybe we're concerned more with the addition. The ad shev omer abba. Maybe you have to wait for the next omer to be mat to this. So tifshot lemihadam rabbe vom rabbi Yochanan. Perhaps this ruling rabbi Yochanan will help us. Yaldai. This means a young vine, meaning it's pre-orlets in the first 3 years. Shisibcha bezkena. It got mixed up together with an older vine that was post-orla. Uva perot. The young vine has grapes on it. Afilu osipa matayim. Even if the young thing had tiny little grapes, and they grew to 200 times their size, which is the sheer beetle for Orla, after it got mixed in with the older vine, Asur. The grapes are still Asur, which means that we stick to the original identity, and whatever is added on does not change the status. Now we have another piece from Rabbi Yonatan. Batzel sheshtalo b'cherem. Let's say you planted some onions in a kerem, which is kilayim. The Nakara Karam, and the Karam got uprooted. Afilo Osif Matayim, even after the Karam was uprooted and the onion grew to 200 times the size that it was before, as an Isur of Kilayim, and of course the beetle of Orla and Kilayim is 200, but of a Matayim, Asur, it's still Asur, which means, again, we always look at the original fruit, not at the add-on. So, why didn't he prove it from there? The answer is, he Gufa Kakame Bailei. That's exactly what Rabbi Shimon Pazi was asking. Mifsha pshita lehula rabbanan debatar ikar azlinan, is it quite clear to them that we always follow the original item, loshna lekula, loshna lechumra, that's the essential law. Odilma sfuki masafki lehu, maybe they were unclear. Ulechumra aminan, because both of those rulings are lechumra. Lekula lo aminan. So he wasn't sure whether or not the idea of going batar ikar was an essential law or it was a chumra. And therefore he asked the question, lekula, would you say that we go after the original piece and the omer is matir, this replanted stuff, or not? And the answer is teiku. Again, we can't solve it. Boy, Rabba. Rabba asked the question, le'inyan ma'aser mai. How does this work for ma'aser? So again, hechidami, what's the case? Kigon de'amdinu ve'asrinu ve'shatlinu osifa lehu. What happened is you had stuff grow, you eyeballed it, you took ma'asrot, and then you replanted it, and it regrew, and it grew more. If you want to take the other position, which is we follow the tosefet by yasuri, and then you have to take ma'asrot off of what the new growth, and there was this thing grew more when you replanted it, ikarmai, do you also have to take ma'asrot for the original stuff? So amalei abaye, ma'ishna mikochit yusari d'alma. Why is that any different than all wheat and barley? After all, you harvest wheat, you separate ma'asrot, you take the chul and you replant it, you have to separate ma'asrot again from what grew. So amalei davash zaro kalei lo mibaili. I'm not asking about stuff that germinates. Elaka ki mibaili davash ein zaro kalei. I'm asking about bulbs, for instance. Mai. In other words, they remain in the ground, they don't disappear, and I'd already taken masrot from the essential piece, do I have to now take another masrot from the essential piece, in addition to the add-on? Maybe I don't have to take it all. So tifshot lemihadam yitzchak of Yochanan. Maybe this ruling of Rabbi Yochanan will help. Litra batzal shetikno vizaro. If you have a whole pile and you know exactly how much it is, a litra. It doesn't matter how much it is, but you do know how much it is, that's important. You took masrot, and then you replanted it. Nitaser lefikulo. You have to take masrot based on the full amount, which means you have to take new masrot. The answer is hatam hainu zriato. No, that's the way you plant it. You take onions and replant them. Hachalav hainu zriato. But here, to replant wheat is not the normal way. And so you might consider that it already had its masrot. He's asked the following question. Atzit sheinon akuv. A potted plant, a pot. A planter, which is a sealed bottom, so that it's growing in its own earth, mahu. So, ilon akuv halon akuv. If there's no hole, so it's a separate potted plant. So he said, dilma chazar v'nakvok kamart. Maybe Abaye says to him, maybe you're asking about a case where it was planted in there, and then you remove the bottom, so now it's cutting into the ground. So you're asking whether or not, now you have to take new masrot. But here you only planted it once. Now it's just connecting to the ground because you took the bottom away. So this is not a parallel question, because in the one that we've been dealing with, you did two plantings. But here you already planted it. You already took masrot. So let's say that you harvested some stalks. You put them into the kri. You did everything. It's chayav. In Trumot, you didn't take Trumot, and then you replanted it. Karal Hashem Mechubar, and after it sprouted, while it's in the ground, you said, there's my Truma. Mahu. Kev in the Mircha Tavlala, do we say that once you did Meruach, it's now Tevel, so Ki Karal Hashem Kichala, so when you were gave it an identity of Truma, it works. Odilma, Kev in a Shat Lapaka Leitiv Lamina. But maybe the, when you replanted it, it's not Tevel anymore, which means when you call it Truma, it's not a meaningful thing. Rabban Abayim came out, Sinu Truma Mechubar Lakarka. Utanya, and we can't find this Mishnah or Brayta anywhere, Lamatsinu Trumam Mechubar Lakarka, we all know that's true, that there is no such thing as Truma while it's in the ground. How could you have such a thing? So Marle, Kitanya Hi, that statement is Linyan Echuvi Mita V'chomesh. What it means is that if you have Truma, something that's in the ground, it can't be Truma to be Mechayev, a Zar eating it for Mita, if he does it on purpose, or Chomesh and a payment, the additional payment if it's Veshogeg. And the reason for that is, if you pluck it up, then it's tolish, then you're chayiv. If you lean over and eat it while it's in the ground, then that's just not considered eating. Nobody eats like that. So that's why it's not called truma b'mchuvah l'karka. Not because it can't essentially become truma, but because you can't be chayiv for eating it while it's in the ground because of what we just said. But why is that ruling, that it's not considered eating, any different than this ruling that we found in Ilfa's notebook, as it were? Let's say you have an of tahor, a chicken, and it died without shechita. And some of the eggs are inside, some of the eggs are outside. The eggs that are inside are metame, just like the part of the nevelah ta'of, when you eat them inside, any begadim you're wearing are metame beit habliya. Mibachutz, but any ones that were outside, imetame begadim beit habliya, they're already outside of the animal, outside of the bird, they're fine. Which means that we're assuming now that you're eating them while they're inside, which is of course not a normal derech achila, and yet we're considered eating. The answer, one answer you could give is to say that for tuma, we're not considered with derech achila, but for chiyuv mita we are. But the other answer is talush avini inshita achli hachi. If the thing is talush, like the bird, people sometimes will eat it that way. Chubar lo avini inshita achli, but nobody eats stuff that's still on the ground. It's just not done. That's the answer. It's simply, they're not parallel because one is sometimes done, one is never done. Tavyumi bar kista mar shmuel. Hazorek kilayim batzit sheino nakub. Back to our potted plant, the planter, which is sealed on the bottom. If you plant kilayim in there, it's asur. So Rabbi Abishlam Ashmin and Lokem Akat Marduk Midrabanan Shapir. If Shmuel were to teach us that you get Makot Midrabanan for doing that, I get it. Allah Asur, my question, what's he teaching us that it's asur? We know that. Midrabanan Habi Yisriya, that Midrabanan, we consider planting in a potted plant where the planter, where the bottom is sealed, is considered Yisriya. We know that. Tanina Tara Mishinar Kuv Al Rakuv, we know that the Mishnah, that if you take Trumot from a sealed planter on an unsealed planter, truma v'yachzor v'yitrom. The truma is valid, but you have to go back and take more trumot again for the second one, which means the truma you took here is considered truma, which means we know that midrabanan, at least, this is considered planting, which in Shmuel is teaching us nothing new. Okay, we had a lot of questions. We had very few answers. We had one mystery at the end was not solved, but we will move on to the next Mishnah on the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.